Welcome to McGuire on the Wire, where you'll discover top stories and strategies in specialty tax broken down by our experts. You'll also meet leaders from across the firm who will discuss McGuire Sponsel's approach to common challenges faced by our clients.
Thank you for joining us today. My name is David McGuire, and today I'm sitting down with David Seibel, who is a senior manager in our R&D practice. And David's going to talk a little bit about where we stand with the R&D credit now that we've gotten through the 2022 filing season, and people are starting to do tax planning for 2023 and beyond. Thank you for joining us today, David.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
So, David, could you tell us a little bit, just where do we stand right now in terms of the amortization requirement that relates to Section 174, and what people are doing or where you started seeing people towards the end of the 2022 filing season?
Yeah, so 174 is still kind of the talk of the town, so to speak, for, you know, for when we're talking about research expenditures, because we thought we might have a slim chance for a fix for a repeal of 174 amortization, but that has yet to occur yet. So hopefully a lot of people followed our advice from the previous podcast and extended their returns and made a conservative estimate for the, you know, what those 174 costs might be, so they could make those estimated payments to see if one of two things would occur. Either we would have a fix, you know, post 415, hopefully before 915 in terms of a repeal, or that hopefully additional guidance would be issued as to the types of costs that taxpayers would be required to amortize. Because as of now, it's still unclear on the costs that have to be amortized as 174 costs, because those costs, you know, according to the code, can be very far-reaching depending on the types of activities that the taxpayer is doing.
So just to take a brief step back, what is, we talk obviously a lot, you and I both work in tax law, and so we use a lot of numbers and letters and not necessarily words. Mm-hmm. So what is 174, and how is that different than what we talk about when we're talking about the R&D tax credit and Section 41? Can you do just a brief kind of layman's terms of what these things are?
Yeah, so Section 174 is for research expenditures. So that is a broad classification. And initially, when it was first enacted, 174, the tax code of 174, was broad on purpose because it was intentionally supposed to encourage companies to incur research expenses with the, you know, advantage of having the option of deducting them 100%. So that, you know, there wasn't this requirement of having to, you know, spend a bunch of money up front on research and then amortize it over a fixed number of years. So that's a big change from where we are now, where they, you know, due to the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, we are now forced to, we can't deduct all of those expenses 100%, and we have to instead are required to amortize them over 5 years using a mid-year convention. And it's important to note that's, you know, when we're talking about 174 costs, it can be a broad bucket, as opposed to Section 41, which is the research credit. The research credit is defined as four different expenses, so four distinct categories or buckets of expenses, whereas 174 can be a lot more broad. And it's also a situation where you can picture 174 as a circle of expenses, and then the 41 expenses are always going to be inside that circle. They're never going to be outside that circle. So all R&D credit expenses have to first be 174 costs, but not necessarily all 174 costs are going to be 41 costs.
That sounds like an SAT question. All 174 are not Section 41, but all Section 41 are 174.
Exactly, yeah. So, you know, it leads to a situation where, you know, it's not a scenario where if you claim the research credit in the past, then you're subject to 174 amortization. 174 amortization is law whether or not in the past you've claimed the research credit or are planning on claiming the research credit. No matter what, no matter your situation, if you incur 174 costs, you're going to have to amortize them according to the way the rules are written now. So it's a, you know, it's we get the question all the time of, did I do something wrong claiming the research credit, now I have to amortize these 174 costs? The answer is no. You are always going to be required to amortize these whether or not you claim the research credit.
So let me just to kind of go through a kind of scenario. So you're saying if I, let's say I own a manufacturing company and I've got, and I'm just trying to make the math easy on myself. I've got 10 employees. Let's say it cost me $100,000 per employee. So I've got about $1 million in employee expenses.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying whether they qualify for 41 or not, I'm going to have to amortize that cost if they're 100% involved in research.
Correct. If they're 100% involved in research, you know, instead of being able to deduct 100% of those costs, you can now, because it's a five-year mid-year convention, you can only deduct 10% of those costs. And then eventually you'll recoup those in the next couple of years, but it still results in a very large taxable increase for the 2022 year and also in future years too until it eventually catches up.
Oh, I can imagine. I mean, in my example of $1 million in expenses, if I was planning on having that and I was pretty much break even and not having any taxable income, and now you're saying I only get to deduct $100,000 of that, now I've got $900,000 worth of taxable income versus zero.
Mm-hmm.
And now when we're talking about that though, so the Section 41 is on top of that. So you're saying that if we couldn't necessarily deduct all those 174, but either way that's going to occur. But if I have to do that, I can still take the Section 41 tax credit and potentially get a tax credit for some of those wages. In my example of $1 million, let's say it's, what is it, typically about 7% or so effective?
That's a good rate.
So we'd be looking at about a $70,000 tax credit, which would help. It's not going to offset the entirety of that $900,000 worth of taxable income I have, but it would at least offset a portion of it.
Yeah, it for sure helps soften the blow, so to speak, so that you're not going to have, you know, you're not going to have all that $900,000 go straight to the taxable income and have to pay that resulting tax. And also claiming the research credit, you know, we know that, you know, going forward there's going to be, you know, eventually that payback, but not before you pay a significant amount of tax first, before you reach up that catch-up period where if you have the same year-to-year spending, it's, you know, you're going to eventually even out. Claiming the credit on, you know, whatever you can, that will certainly help, you know, get you a little bit back even a little bit quicker.
Obviously, we're sitting here and recording this right after the 418 deadline.
Mm-hmm.
But as we're talking about it, you mentioned early on that we had advised a lot of people to go on extension. What would you say if somebody's gone on extension, let's say they didn't even calculate their Section 41 credit, based on what you're telling me, it almost sounds like they should still, even if we think the 174 is going to get repealed, or if you think it's not going to get repealed, there's no reason for people to delay working on their Section 41 R&D credit because it's not going to hurt them, or it will only be a benefit. So if they're going on extension, they should at least move forward with that portion of it right now.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's a situation where you should probably start thinking about claiming the research credit if you haven't already, especially if you have 174 costs, because as you pointed out, Dave, worst case scenario, if this does not get repealed, the 174 amortization, you'll still have the research credit to help offset some of that additional tax. And then, you know, if it does get repealed, then you still have the research credit. And, you know, even if it leads to a situation where you can't utilize it this year, the research credit is a credit that can either be carried back 1 year or carried forward 20 years. So still a scenario where, you know, again, even if you wouldn't be able to utilize the credit if 174 amortization is repealed, pretty decent chance that you'll be able to use it at some point in the future.
So you mentioned earlier that not all 174 expenses are 41, but all 41 expenses are 174.
Correct.
Now let's say that I'm a business that maybe doesn't have research, but I was contacted by maybe a more aggressive provider than McGuire Sponsel, to claim a Section 41 tax credit in the past. So let's say I'm in a dental office, because we all know that dental offices have been marketed to for Section 41 tax credits. Are you saying that because I've taken that 41 tax credit, I've pretty much defined myself as having an amortizable labor expense that now is actually going to backfire on me to an extent, or I have to admit that my Section 41 credits did not exist in the past?
Yeah, it's a situation where you kind of, if you don't keep claiming 174 costs, you might find yourself, if there is an exam situation, the IRS would pit the two sets of returns against each other and say, well, you had 174 costs and 41 costs in, you know, 2020, 2021, and then all of a sudden you don't have any this year. What changed? And to your point, they would say, well, which is it? Did you have 174 costs or did you not? And so it can play, you know, kind of just it's a situation you don't want to find yourself in, having to pick and choose what tax position you're ultimately going with.
Yeah, it sounds like a damned if I do, damned if I don't situation where I pretty much either have to admit I was fraudulent in my past returns, or I have to be fraudulent on this return, but I don't get the choice. It almost sounds like that would be the same situation, though, even for people that have legitimate Section 41 claims. If they sit there and say, you know what, I just want to ignore it this year. So it sounds like there's a lot of confusion still, both with providers and with the IRS, and just how to interpret some of these new rules. So let's go through a couple scenarios, because we did say we're just past the 415 or 418 this year deadline. So the question then becomes, what do we do now? So let's go through a couple scenarios. Let's say I'm a taxpayer that has not done anything. I have not looked at my Section 41 tax credit. I have not looked at my 174. My return's on extension, but at some point I'm going to have to file a return. What would be your recommendation for how I proceed over these summer months?
First, you know, just look at the type of industry you're in, read the 174 tax code, and consider if your expenses would fall under this cost category, and that whether there would be a situation where some of the costs you're incurring could be classified as 174 and no other way. If they would be, then you should, again, strongly look at, okay, how much of these costs might I be required to amortize? And of these 174 costs, how many might be eligible for the research credit, so that you can start to tax plan a little bit and see, all right, when I eventually file my return, what's the additional tax I might owe?
How much time does that take? Because I know a lot of people are just in a sit and hold pattern, hoping that Congress actually does something this year. And I know we're just now with the end of tax filing season. It's also when Congress gets back from their spring recess. How long can I sit back and wait before I've actually got to move and hire my R&D credit provider or a 174 calculation? Is this something that I can call you a week before my extension's due? Or is this something that we need to start looking at now with the expectation we don't know how it's going to occur?
Yeah, it's definitely something where you have to start planning now, because it's probably not going to be possible to, you know, even a few weeks or even a month before the extension deadline to start planning. By then it might be too late, and, you know, capacity might just not be there. It'd be better to take a look through the books now and start planning now. Again, plan for the worst, hope for the best type of situation.
Now, let's say I'm in a situation where I've never taken the R&D credit. So my example before where I asked you, okay, I've not hired my Section 41, but I've never taken it. But my CPA told me to put my return on extension, and I've never taken it because I've never had taxable income. But this year, all of a sudden, I do because of this. Is it something I can go back and still look at past years, even though I haven't taken it in the past, and use that to help offset some of this? So in my example, the $1 million worth of expenditures, let's say a portion of it's Section 41 eligible, but I've never had to worry about it because I had $1 million worth of expenses.
Mm-hmm.
This year I don't. Is this a time where I should start thinking about that? And does that take more or less time than somebody that's already been in a standard of taking the tax credit year after year?
Yeah, so the R&D credit is something that you can amend for up to 3 years depending on the statute of limitations. So if you traditionally extend, then most likely you would have 3 years that you'd be able to go back and amend, but at least two years. And yeah, just like you said, Dave, and I made the point earlier that, you know, the R&D credit is a general business credit that you can either carry back for 1 year or carry for 20 years. So if you never claim the research credit, it'd be a good opportunity to, you know, in that analysis, look at Section 41 for the previous 2 or 3 years to, even if you can't utilize it in that year, still go back and amend so that you can carry them forward to this 2022 year and be able to offset that liability.
If I go back through my basic math where I said, I've got $1 million worth of expenses, about 7% effective credit, so that's $70,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
My add back on my amortization is about $900,000. So
right.
At a 30% tax rate, that's looking at increasing my tax liability by $270,000 or so. But if I'm getting $70,000 a year and I've got 3 open years I can go back plus this year, that's going to offset pretty much all of that liability, if not actually put me in a better position if I've never taken it in the past.
Yeah, for sure. And that's, you know, that's just one of the planning tools, one of the, you know, options that you have, and you have to carefully analyze in determining, you know, your plan in case this 174 amortization issue doesn't get repealed. And back to our point earlier, you know, even if 174 does get fixed and you still go back and amend for those 3 additional years, still with the 20-year carry forward, there should be a decent chance at some point to be able to utilize that credit for future years.
David, as we finish up, it sounds like if people have not done anything because they've just been waiting,
mm-hmm.
because of the timing it takes to do the R&D credit and to look at 174, sounds like it's something that people should at least start moving forward with their R&D claims, with their Section 41 calculations, to at least get a head start. Whether or not this gets extended or not, that's not going to be a waste of their time, but it needs to at least get started so they're not back up against the wall come extension date.
Right. Yeah. The taxpayers that have wanted to extend and wanted to have a wait and see approach, that, you know, that's still fine. But again, you still have to prepare for the worst and hope for the best. So, you know, still go through the exercise of looking through what those 174 costs might be. Continue to plan to take the R&D credit because there is a very good chance that, again, this will not get fixed by the extension deadline. So that, you know, you want to be prepared to be able to file your taxes on time.
And I just want to confirm one thing before we do close. Let's say I'm a taxpayer and I went to my CPA and said, you know what, because of this amortization, I just don't want to take my R&D credit anymore. Does that get me out of the 174?
No, 174 is still mandatory whether or not you claim the research credit. And you know, CPAs are aware of the 174 issue, and it will become a situation where they might not be able to sign off on the returns if there's no 174 in place, that they know there should at least be some 174 costs in there.
David, thank you for joining us today. I hope everyone listening that found this helpful as we look forward to moving forward into the 2023 year, but also finalizing extensions for 2022. If you have any questions about this, or any other area that McGuire Sponsel can help you with, please don't hesitate to reach out. As you can tell by David's vast knowledge in this subject, we have a lot of experts that can help you out in many different areas. But once again, David, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Dave.
This has been McGuire on the Wire. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and follow us on social @McGuire Sponsel to get more industry news and firm updates.